Thank you, and good morning. So today I'll be discussing influenza-associated rash illnesses or a condition some call fleasels. So as you may remember, California experienced the largest measles outbreak in the states in over 20 years that began near the end of 2014 and continued through the first quarter of 2015. This outbreak originated in the Disneyland outbreaks in Southern California, and 131 confirmed measles cases were reported in California by the end of the outbreak. The index case was never identified, and all cases were domestically acquired. In addition, cases occurred in people without epi-links to known measles cases, suggesting unrecognized community transmission. Typically, persons with acute febrile rash illness, but without risk factors for measles infection, such as international travel, contact with international travelers, or visiting venues international travelers frequent, are not referred for measles testing, particularly if they have received the MMR vaccine. However, during this outbreak, the large number of cases combined with community transmission without epi-links led to a low threshold for measles testing in persons with acute febrile rash illness who did not have traditional risk factors for measles. So, coincidentally, the Disneyland outbreak occurred during the peak of the 2014-15 influenza season, as highlighted in this red box in this graph. The blue bars represent confirmed measles cases by week of rash onset, while the solid black line represents the percentage of respiratory specimens testing positive for influenza in the state. So, due to the Disneyland measles outbreak, many states were conducting additional viral testing of people with febrile rash illnesses. And on March 2015, as the measles outbreak and influenza season were waning, the CDC Influenza Division issued a call for influenza-associated rash illness cases because of reports of this unusual influenza-associated presentation. Because of this call for cases, the California Department of Public Health attempted to determine if any of the patients with rash who had tested negative for measles at the state public health laboratory during the outbreak had, in fact, influenza. Influenza-associated rash is uncommon. It has been estimated to occur between 2 to 8% of all influenza infections. However, rash does occur, it's primarily in children. Reports in the literature have noted influenza-associated rash cases among those infected with influenza B Yamagata lineage, influenza B Victoria lineage, as well as the influenza A 2009 H1N1 virus. In addition, rashes are known to occur with many other viral illnesses, non-viral pathogens, and drug eruptions. Now, many of the symptoms of influenza and measles are similar. However, there are a number of differences. Influenza is notable for its very acute onset of symptoms. People often describe the infection as being hit by a truck, whereas measles has a prodromal phase before the onset of rash and high fever that includes the three C's of measles: cough, coryza, and conjunctivitis. And while cough and coryza are common among influenza infections, conjunctivitis is not. As mentioned, rash is thought to be a rare presentation of influenza, whereas measles is characterized by the presence of a macropapular rash that begins on the face, head, or neck, and then descends to the trunk and out to the extremities. So this slide shows photos of patients with influenza-associated rash on the left and measles on the right. As stated earlier, measles rashes are macropapular. A macropapular rash is a rash characterized by flat red areas on the skin called macules that are covered with small confluent bumps called papules. As you may have guessed from these photos, rash illnesses can be very difficult to diagnose. Rashes may vary in persons with the same disease and can be similar among those with different diseases. Determining the cause of a rash is based on the characteristic morphology, distribution, and time course of the rash, as well as a careful assessment of risk factors, infectious contacts, immunization status, and aspects of the physical examination. Even then, the differential diagnosis can still include a number of other possibilities, including a variety of infections and drug reactions. The objectives of this study were first to determine if influenza-associated rash illnesses were occurring in California and because we have the testing capability to determine if we could identify other respiratory viruses among patients who tested negative for measles. We also compared confirmed measles cases to influenza-associated rash cases and to other non-influenza respiratory rash cases. So the California State Public Health Laboratory tested specimens from measles-negative patients who had a documented rash using real-time polymerase chain reaction for influenza, 13 non-influenza respiratory viruses, and Mycoplasma pneumoniae during January 1st through March 10th, 2015. All specimens have been tested for influenza. However, testing for other respiratory viruses is ongoing. We compared demographic and clinical characteristics of confirmed measles cases to to influenza-associated rash cases, as well as other respiratory virus rash cases. And comparisons were used using chi-squared, Fisher-Exact, Wilcoxon, and unpaired t-tests. Moving on to results, there were 125 confirmed measles cases reported in California in 2015, and 120 of these had a rash onset between January 1st and March 10th, 2015. The remaining five cases occurred later in the year and were not associated with the Disneyland measles outbreak. 190 measles negative patients with febrile rash illness were tested for influenza. 30, or 16%, were positive. Additionally, 76 measles negative patients with febrile rash had been tested for other respiratory viruses to date, of which 27 had evidence of at least one viral infection. Of the 30 patients who tested positive for influenza, 83% had influenza A, H3N2 infections, which was the predominant circulating virus during the 2014-15 influenza season. 13% had influenza B, Yamagata infections, and one patient had a B, Victoria lineage infection. Of the 27 patients who tested positive for other respiratory viruses, nearly half had respiratory syncytial virus infections, and more than 30% had rhinovirus or coronavirus infections. Six patients tested positive for enteroviruses, including one patient with enterovirus D68, which, as you may recall, caused an outbreak of severe respiratory illness during the fall of 2014 and has been associated with acute flaccid myelitis. Human metapneumovirus, adenovirus, and parainfluenza virus type 4 were identified in one patient each. Also, 11 patients had co-infections with two or more respiratory viruses, including influenza. This table presents the mean, median, and range of patient ages for those testing positive for measles, influenza, and other respiratory viruses. Measles-positive patients were significantly older than influenza and other respiratory virus-positive patients, with a median age of 22 years of age compared to a median age of 7.5 years for influenza and 2.2 years for other respiratory virus-positive patients. However, it's important to note that the age of these measles patients reflects the epidemiology of the Disneyland outbreak. In the pre-vaccine era, most people were infected in measles in the early childhood. Now, this graph displays the percentage of measles, influenza, and other respiratory virus-positive patients who had known documentation of measles vaccination histories. One-third of measles cases had a documentation of receipt of at least one dose of the MMR vaccine, compared to three-quarters of our influenza-positive patients and over one-half of our other respiratory virus-positive patients. Now, the remainder of the results I'm presenting relate to the clinical presentation of measles, influenza, and other respiratory virus-positive patients. The mean time from fever onset to rash onset was approximately one day less for measles-positive patients compared to influenza and other respiratory virus-positive patients. However, this difference was not statistically significant. This graph displays the percentage of measles, influenza, and other respiratory virus-positive patients who reported that their rash started on their head or neck. 95% of the measles-positive patients reported a rash that started on the head or neck, whereas only 2/3 of patients positive for influenza and other respiratory viruses reported that their rash starting on their head or neck. 93% of measles patients reported a descending rash compared to 73% of influenza positive patients and 50% of patients positive for other respiratory viruses. Measles rashes start on the head or neck, descend down to the trunk, then to the arms and legs, and finally to the head, to the feet. While more than 90% of measles positive patients reported a descending rash that started on the head or neck, it is likely that almost 100% of them had this rash presentation. We have found at CDPH that it is sometimes difficult for people to recall where and how their rash was spread. This graph displays the percentage of patients with each of the three C's of measles infection, cough, coryza, and conjunctivitis. Across the x-axis for measles patients in blue, influenza patients in red, and other respiratory virus positive patients in green. The percentage reported are of the cases where these symptoms were documented. And as expected, the percentage of measles positive patients reporting cough and coryza was not significantly different than the percentage of influenza and other respiratory virus positive patients reporting these symptoms. However, significantly more measles patients reported the presence of conjunctivitis as expected. Finally, the percentage of patients who were hospitalized was similar among measles cases and other respiratory virus positive patients, and no influenza positive patients were hospitalized. This study suffered from two primary limitations. First, we had a limited sample size due to missing data among influenza and other respiratory virus positive patients, since these were only suspect measles patients. And this inhibited our ability to compare their measles vaccination status and clinical characteristics with our measles cases. Second, non-influenza respiratory virus testing has not yet been completed. Given that more than 1/3 of the tested patients so far have been positive for another respiratory virus infection, we anticipate that we will find many more patients with non-influenza respiratory virus infections. So in conclusion, rashes may be associated with a wide array of respiratory viruses, including influenza. Had it not been for the measles outbreak, fewer patients with rash illness without measles risk factors and classic measles symptoms would have been tested. However, the increased testing that occurred may reveal that influenza and other respiratory virus-associated rash may be more common than previously recognized. And finally, patients with influenza and other respiratory virus-associated rashes were less likely to have classic measles symptoms. We recommend clinicians consider influenza and other respiratory viral infections in patients with febrile rash illnesses who do not have typical risk factors for measles, do not have the classic measles presentation and symptoms. If the patient is presenting during the winter respiratory virus season, and if they have been vaccinated against measles. The California Department of Public Health has measles guidance for clinicians available at the URL on this screen. So in the future, we plan to complete the non-influenza virus testing for measles negative patients from 2015. We also plan to retrospectively test measles negative patients from January to March of 2014 for influenza and other respiratory viruses. During this period, 52 measles cases were reported in California, and these cases partially overlapped with the influenza 2013-2014 season. We are interested to see what we might find during a period where measles testing at the state public health laboratory was functioning routinely, and unlike during the Disneyland measles outbreak in 2015, when the influenza A 2009 H1N1 virus was circulating. So I want to thank all the hard work done by the epidemiologists and laboratorians at the California Department of Public Health, and also the hard work from our local health departments that really made this project possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I know that for many of us, the 14-15 influenza season was difficult for a number of reasons, and had influenza imitating several diseases, including measles and mumps. We will have questions if you want to come up to the center. I do have one question for you. For the rash cases that were influenza positive, or that I should say were measles negative, did you evaluate whether they had recent MMR?
I believe that might have been included
in there.
Yeah, I think the exact figures, as far as the recency of the measles vaccination, I'm not sure. I only have information on the receipts. That 3/4 actually did have a receipt of MMR.
That they did include it.
Definitely a limitation of when they received the MMR vaccine, and we couldn't identify if they also had recent antibiotic medications.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I have another question. So as you're probably aware, LA County participates in the Influenza Incident Surveillance Project, or at least did in that season. Did you look at all the influenza positive specimens that also got the extended respiratory panel with rash illness as a symptom?
So all of the measles negative patients with a febrile rash were tested for influenza. However, we've only completed 1/3 of the testing for the other respiratory viruses.
You might want to get with LA and consider including some of those
other
influenza or other.
Yes, other. We know that other local health departments have been doing some testing of their own.
Can I ask something about that?
Yes.
So we do all the measles testing for LA County, so we have their specimens.
Okay.
And they're included in what's being tested.
Well, the IISP specimens wouldn't be tested for measles, but they would.
Right, but
there's
well,
detailed symptom information associated with them.
But we're only testing suspect measles cases. So this is a separate thing from IISP. So if any of their IISP patients reported rash but weren't a suspect measles case, then that's kind of outside the scope of what we were doing, because these were all suspect measles cases.
Yeah, but it seems that if you were trying to describe the epidemiology of rash illness among influenza infection and other viral respiratory pathogens, and it seems like it would be still, I don't know if it's even worth looking through, but it would be to satisfy curiosity, which I do a lot of, and I apologize, it seems like that would be worthwhile including in your analysis if that's the epidemiology you're trying to describe.
Well, really we're trying to describe, because we're looking at our measles negative cases, it's what do these measles negative cases really have? We didn't go at it from a reported flu case with rash perspective.
We assume
we
if any of those
ISP
specimens were suspect of measles, then they would have been
tested
for
measles.
Right,
they would have shown up in here. But yeah, if they were just an IISP with flu and a rash, but not a suspect measles case, then that's not what we were looking at.
Yeah, but and we can take this offline so that other people can have a couple questions too. Go ahead.
Hi, Cynthia Lucero, Veteran Affairs, Public Health Surveillance Research. I was curious because in your background you mentioned that it's been documented in the 2009 H1N1, but not really in the strain that was circulating that year, the H3N2. So I was wondering if you could comment a little bit more on that. Is that a brand new finding, or have there been other studies that have seen influenza-associated rash with the H3N2 strain?
From my knowledge, I haven't seen any literature showing the influenza A, H3N2 virus being associated with influenza rashes. The 2009 H1N1 virus study was done in a population of hospitalized children, and so I think that's why they reported that result, because something like 5% of the hospitalized children with 2009 H1N1 virus infection had documented rash. I don't know any literature suggesting that H3N2 viruses.
Well, I think it's interesting that you've now sort of shown that it could be pretty much any influenza strain would potentially cause rash. So.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Emily Smith-Davison. I'm a vaccine-preventable epi from Colorado. And I just mostly have a comment, which was thanks for all the information that you guys put out during the Disneyland fun times. because we had a whole bunch of providers that all of a sudden were calling us for any rash and any fever with the suggestion of a rash in a child. And so we actually cribbed some of your materials to provide to providers for evaluating patients with fever and rash. So that was really helpful. So it's fun also to see the data behind that, to be like, yes, this is viral exanthem, but not measles viral exanthem. and so just from like a data to action point of view, I just want to encourage other jurisdictions, if you have the availability, to either look at the stuff that's on the California website or on our website. We found it to be immensely helpful in interfacing, educating, and then taking action with especially outpatient providers. It's not so much the folks who are in hospital who have like ED docs and like infection preventionists. It's like the freaked out pediatrician who's like, did I just give everyone measles? So we are grateful, and we've really taken the information that you guys have put out there. Also, just related to the earlier talk, we had one Disneyland measles case, which was diagnosed thanks to a leftover flu specimen because they ordered IgG and sent it off for a couple days to a commercial lab. And thankfully, we were able to get our hands on her leftover flu specimen. And then things got exciting after that. So thanks.
Thanks.
I will also say that in Minnesota, we also pilfer off California's communications off their webpage. So that's really helpful. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you so much.